Please mute your phone or computer microphone when not speaking. Commissioners present are David Judah, City Hillsborough, Denny Doyle, City of Beaverton, myself, Jim Duggan, Tualatin Valley Water District. For the record, Ms. Branton will conduct a roll call.
Thank you, Commissioner Duggan. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
All right. We have our commissioners noted and present. And please answer when I call your name. Tom Hickman?
I'm here.
Paul Matthews?
Here.
Carrie Pack?
Here.
Joel Carey?
Here.
Clark Balfour?
Present.
Nikki Iverson?
Here, sorry, forgot to mute.
Okay, thank you, Nikki. And I believe Chris Wilson is not here today. Lee Lindsay?
Yeah.
Eric Hillema?
Present.
Chad Lynn?
I'm here.
David Winship?
Yes, here.
And we have Dave Kraska, Joel Bennett. Is Bill Vanderveer here?
I'm here.
Thank you, Bill. Is Mike Rich joining us today?
Present.
Thank you, Mike. Christina Walter?
Here.
And I'm Faye Branton, I'm here. Do we have anyone else joining us today?
Yeah, Matt will be there. Here.
Thank you, Matt. Anyone else? Thank you. That concludes the roll call.
Thank you, Faye. First on our agenda is the General Manager's Report. Mr. Kraska will now present the General Manager's Report.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Duggan. So, starting off, with some reminders about remote meetings etiquette. I'm getting a little tired of this, so we might strike this from future meetings. I think everyone's heard this enough times, but we'll do it one more time. So please mute your microphone when you're not talking to prevent adding echoes and background noise to the sound of the meeting. Please identify yourself before speaking for proper acknowledgement on the record. And if someone other than a board member would like to ask a question or make a comment, please use the chat feature to let the general manager know that and wait to be acknowledged. So moving on next into the safety minute, there we go. We're into the safety minute now. So today's safety minute is about preventing heat illness. And so what is heat illness? Well, exposure to a heat can cause illness and death. Most seriously, heat illness stroke is heat. Most serious heat illness is heat stroke, which is a medical emergency. Other heat illnesses, including heat exhaustion, heat cramps or muscle cramps, and heat rash. Muscle cramps are often the first symptom of heat illness. So please take precautions anytime temperatures are high and the job involves physical work. Click. Please. And then, so the risk factor. So when do you know you're at risk of having heat illness? Well, certainly when the temperatures are high, you're in direct sun, there's no breeze, low water intake. But kind of at the bottom here to think about is that you haven't had any recent exposure to hot workplaces. This is something that sometimes we forget about, that suddenly a heat wave comes on, but we've been used to cooler temperatures and your body hasn't had time to acclimate to it. It can lead to heat illness quicker than otherwise. Click ahead. So how do we prevent it? Well, we make sure we have access to water, access to shade, we plan our work accordingly, monitor the weather, and again, our acclimating to the weather, and understanding the symptoms and emergency response. And so that concludes the safety minute. Continuing on with the general manager's report, talk about the approvals and procurements forecast. Attached to this GM report is the approvals and procurements forecast for June through August 2020. Forecast presents a review of the program activities that have recently been approved or are scheduled for approval over the next 2 months by either the director, the WWSS committees, or the WWSS board. forecast shows at this time we anticipate having four business items on the August board meeting agenda. Three of these pertain to WWSP real estate activities, and the fourth pertains to a Beaverton ancillary project. Joel Bennett will present a staff report later in this meeting on these anticipated August business agenda items. The forecast also lists other real estate activities and intergovernmental agreements that are in process and contracts that are being negotiated. These items are largely the same as they were presented last month. Speaking now about our project's planning, permitting, and communications updates, over the last month, we received several more permits for our raw water facilities project and the PLW 1.3 project, which is in the South Hillsborough area. Contractor on the raw water facilities project just received notice to proceed, and we expect the PLW 1.3 project to break ground in August. Additional permit applications continue to be submitted for six other WWSP projects, which are listed here, and many more are in development. We do not anticipate any delays on these permit applications. Another important permit for the WWSS is our Section 401 water quality certification for maintaining compliance with the Clean Water Act. Our compliance with the certification requires having a thermal treating plan approved by the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. The DEQ has been certifying thermal treating plans since 2004, but ours will be the first that is related to a water withdrawal. All others to date have been related to wastewater discharges. This week, in fact, it was last night, the WWSP staff presented the thermal treating plan at DEQ's online public hearing. During the hearing, program staff shared information on our proposed riverside restoration projects that are intended to increase shade to limit river temperature increases. These proposed projects are located in the Mullalo River State Park and on Chicken Creek in the Tualatin River National Wildlife Refuge. The projects include removal of non-native invasive species, replanting of native trees, and habitat restoration. Regarding our project's design status update, work continues on multiple design projects, including nine pipeline projects, the water treatment plant, the distributed control systems, and the terminal storage project. And all of these design projects are progressing according to plan. And finally, talking about our project's construction status updates, now we have five active construction projects regarding our raw water facility project. For that one, as I mentioned earlier, we began mobilization efforts, including erosion control, tree protection, and installing trailers. Regarding our PLM 1.1 project, which is a raw water pipeline project from the raw water facility project to Wilsonville Road, for that project, we are preparing for a creek crossing and utility crossings work that will start in mid-July. Our PLM 1.2 project, that's a raw water pipeline project in the north end of Wilsonville. That one's being completed in partnership with the City of Wilsonville's Garden Acres Road project. That one will begin the first waterline installation activity this month. Our PLM 5.1 project, that's a finished water pipeline project being completed in partnership with Washington County's Roy Rogers Road expansion project. For that one, we've installed 800 linear feet of waterline so far, and we're continuing utility relocation efforts. And finally, our fifth project, PLM 5.2, for that one, we finished water pipeline. That's a finished water pipeline project on Southwest Shoals Ferry Road and Southwest Tile Flat Roads. They are working to complete in advance of development work in the area. For that one, we've installed 8,500 feet of water line so far. And that one, we had a recent closure of Grabhorn Road in order to get across that road. And we were able to complete that work and reopen Grabhorn on time. The PLW 1.3 pipeline project will soon be added to this table as the contractor is scheduled to receive notice to proceed in August. All projects remain on track and are progressing according to plan. And all contractors are remaining in compliance with the governor's executive order number 20-12 regarding hygiene and social distancing. And that concludes this month's general manager's report.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we can move on to our next agenda item, which is public comment. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Do we have any persons who would like to comment Anything in the chat so far? Hearing none, I guess we can move on. Next is the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. The only thing on our consent agenda for today is approval of the June 4th, 2020 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion and second to approve the consent agenda as presented?
This is Denny. I'll move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
This is Commissioner Judah. I second.
Great. Since we have a motion and a second, I will call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. The motion passes. Next on our agenda are the business agenda items. Time will be set aside for public comment for each business agenda item if we do get any input on the chat. First, on our business agenda, item A, acting as a local contract review board, consider adopting resolution number WWSS 12-20, declaring an exemption from the competitive bidding for the RES 1.0 storage reservoirs project, combined with the PLM 5.3 pipeline project, and approving the construction manager general contractor CMCG delivery method for construction following a hearing of oral testimony or written comments. First, we'll hear the staff report, and then I will open the public hearing. Anyone who wishes to offer testimony in support or opposition to this item will be given 5 minutes unless an extension is granted by the board. Should three or more people testify on the same topic, each person is limited to 3 minutes. Following public testimony, I'll close the hearing and the board will consider action on the item. Mr. Bridge will now present the staff report.
Okay, good afternoon, commissioners. I'm going to attempt to share my screen and do the presentation for you here. Can you see the PowerPoint presentation? I can't tell or not.
It appears we do, but it looks like it's in the format where you can see the main screen plus the thumbnails on the left.
All right, let me see if I can undo that. Hold on. Just a minute. Back here. Okay, is that better? Do you see kind of the full screen?
Full screen. Looks good. Right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, we'll give this a try. All right, so I'll be talking about the Res 1 combined PLM with PLM 1.3 project delivery approach. So the outline is to give you the brief preview of the recommendation, provide a brief overview of the project, remind you of our evaluation process and the results. Go through the implementation steps and where are we at today in the process, and then conclude with the recommendation. So Commissioner Duggan, as you mentioned, the recommendation is to consider adoption of a resolution declaring an exemption from the competitive bidding for the Res 1 storage project and approving the CMGC delivery method for construction following a hearing of oral testimony or written comments. So to give you a brief overview of the project, so the map you see to the right side of your screen, that represents the reservoir project, which you see the two gray dots and the Res 1 label, and then also all of our PLM 5 pipeline project. And so that pipeline in total is about 35,000 feet. The portion of that project that will combine with the reservoir for construction is our PLM 5.3 project, which is about 21,000 feet in total. So the scope of these combined projects include the two 15 million gallon circular reservoirs, each about 300 foot in diameter. There's various on-site vaults associated with the piping and appurtenances, yard piping. There'll be a small building for water quality purposes on the site. A lot of site grading and rock excavation requirements associated with the reservoir project. Right now, the site consists of a slope down the south side of Cooper Mountain that's basically almost entirely rock, and so there will be a significant amount of rock excavation to develop the site. In support of that developed site on the north side, where we have our largest cut, we'll need to install a soil nail and rock bolt reinforcement wall. Certainly, as you're building new infrastructure, there's issues that need to be addressed related to stormwater retention, treatment, and conveyance, site access roadways. And again, the second but equally big part of this is combining it with about 21,000 feet of 66-inch diameter pipeline that's associated with the PLM 5.3 project. So some of the challenges and some of the reasons why we're asking for the board's approval to proceed with the CMGC is this is a very complicated project and in a tough set of local constraints that we're really trying to achieve greater cost effectiveness while reducing risks for the overall project and program. So some of the issues that challenges that need to be addressed is to construct all of these different elements of the project. It requires a number of really specialty contractors that have to be coordinated. There's certainly a lot of challenges associated with the site constraints, both locally where the reservoirs will be located and the rock excavation, but also more broadly as well as the setting within the neighborhood and limited number of roads in and out of this specific area. Again, rock excavation requiring blasting and literally, you know, thousands of cubic yards of rock that have to get removed from the site, resulting in hundreds of large off-road truck trips to remove it. A number of schedule constraints. As the schedules kind of exist now on the baseline, the pipeline project in this area and the reservoir project also will occur at the same time. And so a lot of coordination is required associated with the constraints. And then also very important is public outreach. We're doing this large infrastructure project in developed neighborhoods and you know, local streets. And so really important to pay a lot of attention to the public side of things. And associated with that is traffic. There's just a limited number of ways to get up to the site and back away from the site related to construction, as well as just the general public. So to give you a little bit of background on the delivery approach evaluation steps that have taken place, back in March of 2019, the program independently investigated the different alternatives for construction of joint construction of these projects. The different approaches that were considered include, from an alternate delivery standpoint, progressive design build, lump sum design build, and CMGC, and then the conventional design bid build approach. So at that time, the program internally kind of shortlisted its preferences being down to really the CMGC or the design bid build approach, but really felt that it was prudent to wait until we got our reservoir designer on board to help make sure we've, one, made our decision with the latest updated information, but also with their input in the process. So back in March of 2019, we deferred that until we had our designer on board. So within the last 6 months, we had our designer on board. One of their early action items was to support the program in this decision. So again, reviewed the different advantages and disadvantages of each delivery option, and then ultimately identified the recommendation for the CMGC delivery of this combined reservoir and pipeline project. So we do expect a number of benefits from choosing the CMGC delivery approach. So one is it provides the ability to select a contractor in part based on qualifications, which is the preferred method that has been used in the program so far with all our our CMGC approaches. So what that allows us to do is to consider the specific and unique qualifications of the contractors who will be constructing this challenging project for us as part of the selection process. Another really great value of this is it secures the contractor participation during the design, which includes value engineering. So while the design is still being developed and there's opportunity to influence that design and adjust some of its elements. So we view this as really an important advantage of having the contractor on board, and with the goal of reducing costs through that value engineering process as well as risk. It enables the contractor planning to mitigate potential schedule and cost risks. And so again, one of the things that we think will need to happen for this combined project to be delivered on time is to do some early work around the rock excavation to allow enough time at the back end to support the reservoir construction. And all that needs to be coordinated with the large amount of pipeline work that has to happen at the same time. It also shifts the project delivery risk to the contractor, and so, which is really important because there is a lot of schedule coordination and delivery risk associated with this. And so it really incentivizes our contractor to actively collaborate and be engaged in the design process. So when we have these final design documents that are ready for bidding, that we've, you know, collectively as this joint team really have done a good job reducing the risk. It enables us to identify and mitigate safety and public outreach concerns early. So, you know, as a designer, we have certain mindset, but it's always good to have the contractor's view on things as we're progressing. And they're going to pick up on things that we really haven't necessarily completely thought about related to safety and public outreach. So it provides the advantage of allowing us to incorporate their input as well. And then also, as I mentioned before, there's this need for some early rock excavation in support of the overall schedule, and so it supports that activity as well. And finally, it also allows us to accommodate the use of the different design consultants that we have for the two projects. So again, those were based, selected partially based on qualifications. And so, you know, we're selecting what we believe are the most qualified designers for the project and the most qualified contractor for the project as well. So kind of the summary of the exemption associated with this is one, that it is, we view that is unlikely to encourage favoritism or reduce competition. So as we will be doing on other CMGC projects for the program, the major pieces of work will be set up as individual work packages, which will be publicly and competitively bid. And so we feel that we're able to maintain that competition throughout the process. And we also believe that will likely result in cost savings and or other substantial benefits. So certainly the contractor participation in the design and the finalizing the design documents and the associated requirements, we believe will result in some value engineering savings to the projects. And then also other substantial benefits really related to risk avoidance and associated costs with all the coordination that needs to take place in this pretty constrained site. By having the contractor engaged and again responsible for that coordination. So if you recall back in the May 2020 board meeting, we brought this topic to the board. And at that time we previewed the four steps associated with this. And so now this is just kind of an update as to where we're at today and if the board approves moving forward. So again, back in May, we provided this overview of the project with the ask to proceed to the next step, the second box, the public comment period. That public comment period began in June and will be completed today. As of about an hour ago or so, when Bill walked into my office, there has been no public comment provided, and actually no request to be able to see our documents associated with this. And I don't know, Bill, is there anything that came in since we talked?
This is Bill Vanderveer, and no.
Yeah, okay. So we have received no public comment. So that would lead us then to the third step there. If the board chooses to approve today the exemption, then that would allow us to proceed into the contractor outreach associated with the CMGC process. So again, finally, the staff is recommending that the board consider adoption of a resolution declaring an exemption from the competitive bidding for the RES 1.0 storage reservoirs and approving the use of the CMGC delivery method for construction following a hearing of oral testimony or written comments. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mike. None for me, Jim Duggan.
None for me, Danny Doyle.
Hey, Mike, this is Dave Judah. As usual, I always have at least one question.
Okay, great, thank you.
Last month and the month before, during our meetings, we talked about the fact that contractors were very busy at the moment. I certainly like approval of this method of the CMCG. I'm just wondering, are we going to be able to get a firm that will meet our needs if they're all busy using this method, or will we have to reevaluate?
Yeah, I think we're going to be okay. In the findings documents, I believe we've identified at least four contractors that we're aware of here that are local or reasonably local that are capable of delivering this project. Certainly there are other contractors out there that are capable of delivering this project. And as we begin our outreach, if the board approves this today, we'll really try and maximize the contractor awareness of this project. And so, you know, like other types of companies and contractors are pretty good about keeping upcoming projects on their radar. We've already had some interest and discussions with various contractors about this. So we know that they are aware of this. We think this would be a great job for a contractor to have. And so, certainly there's the incentive there. So I don't know, Bill, anything else that you can think of to add to that?
Thank you, Mike. This is Bill Vanderveer. Thanks again, commissioners. Assuming this action is approved today, next week we anticipate we'll run a preliminary advertisement in the DJC to encourage contractors to contact us and come in virtually for now to have an informal conversation about the project and their interest. And through that, we'll be able to test the market interest, and if some kind of a strategic adjustment is needed, we can make it shortly thereafter. But this is a good project, and I expect we'll get good interest from the contracting community.
And based on some of our conversations with more of the pipeline related contractors and associated with the best value process, it seems like more and more there's greater interest for contractors to deliver a project using some sort of alternate delivery process. So that's, it's certainly in a way of delivery that's well supported by the industry. We know we have good local qualified contractors who we think could do a great job with it. And, as Bill kind of alluded to, we can begin the outreach process and continue to track the interest of the industry. But we expect that we will have good interest.
Thank you both.
Any other questions or inquiries? Okay, if not, I think we can move into the public hearing. Using a virtual gavel, the public hearing on item 4A is now open under ORS 297.335. Is there any testimony in support of this item? Is there any testimony in opposition of this item? Public hearing is now closed, hearing none, and using the virtual gavel. So, acting capacity as the local contract review board, do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WWSS-12-20, declaring an exemption from competitive bidding for the RES 1.0 storage reservoirs project combined with the PLM 5.3 pipeline project and to approve the construction manager general contractor CMCG delivery method for construction. Do I have a motion and a second for that?
This is Commissioner Judah. I move to approve agenda item 4A as written.
This is Denny Doyle. I second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. I'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. The motion passes. Next on our agenda is item 4B. Consider adopting resolution number WWSS-13-20, approving an amendment to the WWSS Intergovernmental Agreement Exhibit 1 to update ownership on the North Transmission Line and South Transmission Line emergency connections and complete other minor updates. Ms. Bennett will now present the staff report.
Thank you, commissioners. I think it will help to display the table from the staff report, so I'm going to bring that up really quick. All right.
Thank you.
Since the inception of the Willamette Water Supply System through the execution of the WWSS Intergovernmental Agreement in July of 2019, staff have assembled a small list of recommended updates to the water system turnout details included in the IGA's Exhibit 1. These updates are for turnouts on the gravity side of the system, that is the turnouts downstream of the reservoirs. So the staff report provided two tables. The first is the original table, and the second is the updated table with the recommended changes. I'd like to walk you through the changes briefly, starting at the top of the table. So first is the addition of footnote 1 in the first row. As projects have progressed through design, some of the locations have shifted slightly, and to account for that, the turnout names are now indicated as approximate. Next, farther down on the Tualatin Valley Highway South Transmission Line Emergency Intertie, we added footnote 2, which reads WWSS turnouts for emergency interties with Joint Water Commission, South Transmission Line, and North Transmission Line have or will be paid for by Hillsborough on the WWSS side of that asset. The JWC IGA governs the ownership of the asset on the JWC side of that asset. Use of the turnouts at the interties for emergency purposes shall be pursuant to a separate emergency water supply agreement between WWSS and the JWC. So the purpose of this footnote is to clarify that the ownership assigned in this document is purely for the WWSS assets and does not affect JWC assets and their previously agreed to ownership percentages. The footnote also includes that water supply agreement will be necessary between the WWSS and JWC. Moving along, Francis Street turnout, we corrected a spelling error, so a very minor update. And farther down here on Highway 26, North Transmission Line Emergency Intertie, we've applied that footnote 2 to this connection point as well. And one more update occurred on this line. We increased the turnout capacity to 16.2 MGD, as it was intended to be initially. It originally said 16.0, which was incorrect. These two numbers need to be the same for this line. Next line down, this used to read Highway 26 connection, just like the previous line. So to reduce confusion, we've retitled this turnout to the Cornelius Pass PRV facility for TBWD. These are all the proposed changes for this update. As needed, these adjustments have also been applied to the final table in the IGA Exhibit 1, which is located in Section 5, and that was displayed in the resolution for this item. Staff recommend approval of this proposed resolution to make these changes. May I answer any questions?
Thank you, Joelle. None from me, Jim Duggan.
Pretty straightforward.
I'm good.
Thank you.
All right. Without any further delay, do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WWSS 13-20, approving an amendment to the WWSS Intergovernmental Agreement Exhibit 1 to update ownership on the North Transmission Line and South Transmission Line emergency connections and complete other minor updates?
Commissioner Doyle, I'll make that motion as read.
This is Commissioner Judah, I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed, the motion passes. Thank you. Next on our agenda is item 4C, considering adopting resolution number WWSS 14-20, an updated resolution declaring public necessity to acquire permanent and temporary construction easements over, upon, under, and through real property for the pipeline section PLM 5.3 for the Willamette Water Supply System. Ms. Bennett will again present the staff report.
Thank you, Commissioners. The Willamette Water Supply System's PLM 5.3 project has completed its 60% design phase, and we are ready to begin final design as well as real estate acquisition and land use permitting. PLM 5.3 is mostly within unincorporated Washington County and is located along Southwest Grabhorn Road across private property from the Reservoir 1 location to near Clark Hill Road and across private property to the connection point with PLW 1.3 at Southwest Rosedale Road and the future Cornelius Pass Road. If you would like a map, you can reference the third page of your staff report. The PLM 5.3 project is a 66-inch diameter pipeline. So the program has progressed the design in order to enable identification of property requirements as attached to the resolution. Due to its unique location, PLM 5.3 requires different types of permanent and temporary easements than other pipeline projects to, among other purposes, fulfill WWSP standard construction work zone requirements and to provide for future maintenance and operations of the WWSS. This portion of the pipeline will include easements for the WWSS pipeline and associated water system facilities, access roads to provide access to pipeline sections not located adjacent to the public rights of way, limited use easements that protect the pipeline and associated water system facilities from potentially damaging activities such as aggregate mining, temporary easements for construction, access to construction areas, and access and monitoring slash maintenance of restoration areas. Program staff are aware of additional property needs for pipeline section PLM 5.3 that are still being finalized and are not included in this resolution. This resolution is being brought to the board now to allow real estate work to begin and to begin on schedule. A second resolution will be brought to the board, likely in August, for authorization to proceed on additional property needs for pipeline section 5.3. In summary, the WWSS Commission has authority to acquire real property for the WWSS. The pipeline section PLM 5.3 requires the acquisition of easements on private property. The PLM 5.3 pipeline alignment was selected through an extensive alternatives evaluation, and the preferred location was selected based on the best interests of the public and the least injury to private property owners. The resolution enables the initiation of the property acquisition process, including negotiations with interest holders, and also authorizes the acquisition of the property interest by eminent domain to the extent negotiations fail. Staff recommend approval of the proposed resolution. May I answer any questions?
Thank you, Joelle. None from me, Jim Duggan.
Thank you. This is Denny, none from me.
This is Dave Judah, none from me as well.
Okay, with no further questions, do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WWSS 14-20, declaring public necessity to acquire permanent and temporary construction easements over, upon, under, and through real property for pipeline section PLM 5.3 for the Willamette Water Supply System?
This is Commissioner Judah, so moved.
This is Denny, I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed, the motion passes. Thank you, staff. Next on our agenda, item five, information items. Ms. Bennett will present the business agenda items for August.
Thank you again, commissioners. I'll provide a brief overview of the items we expect to have on the business agenda next month. First item, PLM 4.3 and PLM 5.3 supplemental resolutions of public necessity. WWSS staff are aware of additional property needs for pipeline sections PLM 4.3 and PLM 5.3 that are still being finalized and were not included in the first resolutions of need for these two projects. Utilizing a sequence of two resolutions allows the majority of the real estate work needed for pipeline sections PLM 4.3 and 5.3 to begin on schedule. At the August WWSS board meeting, program staff will present the supplemental project area and easement needs with a recommendation to the board to adopt the supplemental resolutions of public necessity to allow program staff to begin the process to acquire the remaining permanent and temporary construction easements for PLM 4.3 and 5.3. Second item, PLW 2.0 resolution of public necessity. The WWSS includes a section of pipeline along Cornelius Pass Road from Southwest Francis Street to Highway 26, mostly within the city of Hillsborough. The WWSP has progressed the design of this pipeline section to enable identification of property requirements for construction and long-term operation and maintenance of the pipeline. The pipeline alignment was selected through an extensive alternatives evaluation, and the preferred location was selected based upon the best interests of the public and the least injury to private property owners. The proposed resolution will enable the initiation of the property acquisition process, including negotiations with the property owner and any other applicable interest holders, and also authorizes the acquisition of the property interest by eminent domain to the extent negotiations fail. At the WWSS board meeting in August, program staff will present the project area and easement needs with a recommendation to the board to adopt the resolution of public necessity to allow program staff to begin the process to acquire those easements for PLW 2.0. Third and finally, COB 1 Design IGA Amendment 1 to add a City of Beaverton Hall Boulevard 16-inch pipeline. The City of Beaverton has requested an additional ancillary project be added to the COB 1 work that is currently coordinated with TBWD's MPE 1 project under the executed intergovernmental agreement between the City of Beaverton and the Willamette Water Supply Commission. The additional project is a 16-inch pipeline, approximately 2,500 feet long, to be located in Southwest Hall Boulevard from Shoals Ferry to Olson. The requested change has made its way through change committee review and is planned to come to the board in August. This concludes the summary of upcoming action items. May I answer any questions?
Thank you, Joelle. None from me. Jim Duggan.
None here. This is Dave.
None here. I'm familiar with it.
Great. Well, thank you. Next on our agenda, item 5B is just a notation that the next regular board meeting is scheduled on August 6, 2020 via conference call due to the continuing COVID-19 pandemic. Last on our agenda, communications and non-agenda items, number 6. There appear to be no communications or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. Staff, have any other final comments, or do the commissioners have any final questions or comments?
Commissioner Duggan, this is Dave Kraska. One last thing that I'd like to bring up for the board's consideration today is with all the virtual meetings that we've been holding over the months, there's a growing collection of documents that require signature that we're holding on to. And so we're thinking about our options about how to go about processing that. One approach that we've thought of is to mail it out to you for signature with a return envelope provided to simplify the process. And so that would take care of kind of the initial collection that we have, and also maybe considering, because we don't know, obviously no one knows how long we're going to be continuing to meet in this virtual setting, and so we're thinking maybe we need to do this on an ongoing basis on each month as we go through, just make this part of our routine. So before we take the steps necessary to move forward with that, I wanted to bring that up in this meeting and get your feedback on it, please.
This is Denny. I would be happy to come by the office at front counter with a mask on and sign. But if, you know, if mailing's easier for everybody, that's fine with me.
Jim Duggan, I was going to offer the same thing. I'm fine either way. Mailing or me dropping by the office would work as well. Whatever's going to be most convenient for staff.
Okay. If that's the criteria most convenient for staff, then I think that we would prefer, if you're open to it, to just swing by the program office here. I show up here just about every single day, and we'll arrange times that are convenient for you to stop by, do the signatures, and then we'll take care of it that way. That'll make all it right. Very easy for us.
Yeah, even if you're with mail here at the City Hall building, it's kind of random when it gets to people. That's all I can say.
Perfect. All right, thank you.
Great.
So, Dave, I just wanted to ask, so maybe I would encourage you to send us a message when you have something that we need to come in for.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll communicate uniformly to all the commissioners.
Perfect.
All right.
That sounds great. Any other comments or concerns before we adjourn?
I wish everybody a safe 4th of July holiday weekend. No illegal fireworks, please.
Inside the city limits, of course, right, Denny?
Anywhere.
Yes.
I promise, Denny.
All right.
Yeah, for just our furred friends and
exactly
family members that don't tolerate noise. Yes, that's probably a good plan. I wish I could have power over the teenagers in my neighborhood, because I'm afraid that those things go way too late at night.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all. Thank you, staff, for a great meeting. And there being no further business before the Board of Commissioners, this meeting is adjourned.